This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fuel. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
On the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and fiancé, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, we're chatting all about Rebels and New York Comic Con with Aaron Goins of the Star Wars Bookworms podcast. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. Before we get too much further, a note from our sponsors. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with awesome geek gear from Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to help keep the lights running on the podcast.
And it's time for what's new on the blog. So, Nancy, what do we have since the last time we all got together?
Well, I tripped and I wrote a rant about Mara Jade's catsuit.
We have a thing against the catsuit?
As I am wont to do.
Okay, so let's break down this argument against the catsuit, because we've had many before.
We have. I believe this started as a conversation over dinner about how I did not like either the new Mara Jade Black Series action figure, nor did I like the new anime style figure from, I can't pronounce her name, so I won't try. But similar to the Jaina Bishuju X-Wing pilot statue, I believe they put out last year. This one was Mara Jade in the blue catsuit. I believe it comes with the purple lightsaber and the blue lightsaber. She's wearing very tall heels and her hair is blowing in the wind. And I went, that's dumb. So yeah, I was like, why did some comic artist 15 or so years ago, whenever the Run Trilogy adaptation came out, decide that a female smuggler should be wearing a black sleeveless leather catsuit? Because that's where it came from, the Thrawn Trilogy comic. Dunk from Club J did a great history of the catsuit on Club Jade, so I didn't bother going into all that. But suffice it to say, that became the default outfit. And I just want to know who thought that that's a good outfit for a female smuggler. Because does that seem practical to you?
Female smuggler or female spy or...
Well, female anything, really. But, you know...
I mean, there's pretty much only a couple contexts where a leather catsuit is appropriate.
Yeah, and we usually don't get those in Star Wars comics.
No, and this is probably not the podcast to discuss those things.
No. But yeah, basically, my gist was she should have been wearing an outfit similar to what Han wore in A New Hope.
Slacks, boots.
Yeah, similar to what Mirax wore during the Rogue Squadron comics. Or similar to what Card wears. So, yeah, that was my whole thing. And hopefully, if we keep talking about how annoyed we are about the catsuit, maybe people will get the hint and stop giving us merchandise with Mara Jade with the catsuit.
Well, I like to think that the blogosphere has already had a little bit of effect on that. I mean, if you go back and look at the Great Essential Readers Companion that was released last year. Nary a cat suit to be found in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the Central Guide to Warfare, too, I don't think had anything.
I believe you're right, yeah.
Yeah. So, yay. And now her universe has a Mara Jade shirt without the cat suit. Has a suit of armor.
Combat armor. What a novel concept.
I'm fine with that. Yeah. I mean, I still think she probably would have mostly been wearing, like, black pants and a black shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something really
but
basic.
In the era where that...
But she's fighting with stormtroopers, so... And, like, during the book, she's usually in Allegiance and Choice of the One. A lot of times she's in disguise, so...
Yeah. But in no text ever has Mara been shown wearing the cat suit. None.
Nope.
So... Stop with it, please.
Please. So, yes, that was my rant. Then Bria also reviewed the new comic Ewoks, Shadows of Endor, and said it was cute. And if you enjoy Ewoks, you should probably read it. And also Shane wrote about the League of Legends Championship Series and why you should care about it.
And a preview for next week and upcoming content, Bria is putting together a crowdsourced post in which we ask you for expanded universe duos and what their Jaeger ship name would be.
Now her tweet today makes sense.
Yes.
So that's what you were conspiring today while I was at work.
Yes, I mean, I think that I think that Wedge and Tycho would clearly be piloting the Rogue Tide.
Well, Hobby and Wes would be... In the just boom.
Yep, single name.
Boom. And it would be the best one because it would be the most destructive.
And unpredictable.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So yes, that's next week. Look forward to that.
Great.
And with that, we move into Fixer's Flash, the geeky things we've been up to, and as is tradition on the show, we start with Nancy.
Well, I am almost done with Razor's Edge. Yay! And then we can talk about it next week. Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Since we're going to talk about it next week, I'm not going to give my thoughts, but I am a lot more underwhelmed than other people on the blog and podcast, but I don't hate it. It's fine. I like it, but I think it'd be a lot better. And it's not due to the characters or anything. I love the characterization, and I mean, the plot's fine. It's not that exciting. It's just I feel kind of meh about the whole thing, and the writing style isn't my favorite.
So is it more of a mechanical thing?
Yeah, it's a mechanical thing. It's, you know...
And that's obviously going to bother... It's going to differ how much it bothers one reader to another.
Yeah, I mean, if it was... It might bother me... I was going to say that... If you're, like, really super fan of Leia, it might not bother you. But I think because I do really like Leia and I've been really looking forward to a Leia book, that it bothers me more because I wanted it to be so good. And I'm not, you know, getting that out of it. But it's not bad. I mean, I wouldn't say don't read it. But I probably wouldn't read it again.
I'd put it in the top half of books released this year.
I'd have to go back and look over what was released, but I mean, it's, I mean, if someone asked, should I read Razor's Edge, I'd say, sure, why not? I probably wouldn't go read it again, but that's just my opinion. So we'll talk more.
Not terrible, but not on your reread list.
Yeah. I got another short story accepted.
Hooray!
Yay! It will be, published sometime next week, I think. Post a link to it, I guess, on my Twitter. And I wrote a new short story, so now I need to start writing again and get ready for NaNoWriMo.
I love the concept of your new short so much. You're going to have to tell us the one-sentence pitch.
It's about a superhero who goes to find work at a temp agency. A superhero temp agency.
There we go.
Yeah.
So, yes, look forward to that.
Yeah. And I found out a very terrible truth this week or last week, which was that Brian had never seen the movie Space Camp.
I thought our engagement was about to be called off.
So I decided that that needed to be rectified, and so we watched Space Camp.
Oh, that is the height of 80s camp, and I love it. I loved it. I loved it. I loved
we need
it.
To watch it again, because I didn't get to watch the whole thing, because I got a stupid headache, but yeah. And we're making comments that for 1986, I believe is when it came out, it was actually a really progressive movie.
It's one of the more progressive films I've ever seen. Like, and it doesn't seem like one.
I mean, it could do better diversity-wise. I think the only character of color is Rudy, who's black, or the major character. But they're, you know, the main character, Andy, is a woman. You've got Catherine and Tish, who are both on the team. And so it's two girls on the team and three guys. And, you know, so it's a pretty even split of men and women. Well, if you count Andy, it's 50-50 split. And Catherine is the one who is really into space and really serious. Kevin is the goof off. So that's kind of a reversal of tropes. Tish is a really ditzy blonde who's really into fashion and makeup, and yet she has a photographic memory and is super duper smart. And even Rudy, you know, his friends all tease him for why he's taking science, and he's like, I love science. So that's kind of a stereotype breaker. And then there's Max, who's not really a, you know, great diversity, but he loves Star Wars. I forgot how many Star Wars references there were in this movie. But yeah, so basically it's just, it's actually, if they made it today, it would probably be really high on the diversity scale. But
it passed the Bechdel test.
There's a scene with Catherine and Tish talking in their bunks. And yeah, they mentioned Kevin once and how much of a jerk he is. But then they also talk about, you know, what's going on in space camp and, you know, what they're going to write their papers on. They talk about Andy. So they're talking about another woman. And then Andy and Catherine have a conversation about why Andy's so hard on her. I'm like, what the heck is this? All this, like, awesome stuff in space camp. And then there's all the stuff when they get into space. And I'm like, oh, no. This is not right. But it's still cute. It's still a fun movie. It reminds me of my childhood.
You know, if we were to ever do live commentary on movies, this would be high on my list of commentary tracks to do.
And also, I forgot to mention that John Williams did the score for Space Camp, so it has really awesome music.
It does, yeah.
So yeah, if you have not seen Space Camp, go watch, and you like science fiction and space, go see it. I would really love for them, well, they couldn't ever do a remake because there's no a more realistic remake, because there's no way that this could ever happen, but it's still cool.
However, if anyone wants to go back and reboot, remake, sequelize Last Starfighter,
yes, please. Well,
as we've said a couple episodes ago, we would take that.
Yes. So, Brian, you like Space Camp?
I do. I love Space Camp. It perfectly scratches that campy science fiction itch I so frequently
And there's
get.
A training montage with 80s
there
music.
There is an 80s music training montage, and I am a sucker for those.
That's about it.
As for me, I got a new tech gadget, a Google Chromecast.
Ooh.
I've been playing around with it today, and it is a nifty device. For $35, it is the best Netflix streaming device you can get. And I'm not getting paid to tell you that. Ooh. I just really like this thing.
And Brian, why did you get a Chromecast?
Because last week it was my birthday.
Yay! Happy birthday, Brian! Aw,
thank you.
Forgot to mention that.
Thank you.
And what else happened this week?
We went... Oh, right.
The next note.
Yes, the next thing. I finally got a job.
Woohoo!
Ooh, I am no longer among the ranks of the unemployed, and that makes me very happy.
Yes. And where will you be working?
I am working with Disney's Partners Credit Union as a technical support specialist. I am a contracted cast member.
Yay! So you're probably not allowed to talk about Disney anymore on the podcast.
Probably not, no.
You can talk about Star Wars and like all that stuff, but we probably can't really talk about Disney Company.
No.
I'll talk about it, but you
can.
You can just smile and nod and go, mm-hmm.
I will nod silently in agreement. But yeah, I probably can't talk about parks and such on the podcast anymore.
Aww.
Which means that by our next podcast episode, they will have announced Disney Star Wars Land.
Well, we can talk about that.
I probably just can't badmouth Disney.
Well, you wouldn't be doing that anyway.
No,
I mean,
no.
We love Disney.
So. I mean, whenever we talk about Disney, we're always speaking in glowing terms. We like the parks.
Yeah.
But yes, that's pretty much been me the last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we move into Deke's Dirt news from around fandom and, of course, rumors as well. This isn't a rumor. Dave Filoni tweeted that the final Clone Wars bonus content is finished and is targeted for an early 2014 release. We don't know what medium it's going to be released in. Supposedly, they're looking at some out-of-the-box solutions, but it's done. It's coming. So please stop freaking out.
Yeah, that was a cool tweet, kind of out of the blue, that they had finished working on it. And that was why Dave Filoni wasn't at New York Comic Con, because I believe he was in Singapore working on Rebels.
Yeah, he was overseeing the animation.
Oh, yeah, he
Rebels.
Was doing Rebels, yeah. But they also just finished working on the Clone Wars. So that's all done and wrapped. Yay!
Hooray! And speaking of the Clone Wars,
the season 5 box set and the complete series box set was released on Tuesday. So if you need to complete your season sets, or you just never got around to getting the series, you can go do that now.
Bria tweeted a picture of the complete box set she picked up and may have hinted that some reaction blogging is in the making.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
Indeed. And we got a teaser trailer for Rebels. And then the internet blew up.
And it was really, like, it was the definition of a teaser. It was, like, 10 seconds long and had the name Rebels, and that's pretty much it.
There was a Star Destroyer, a planet.
Yeah.
The word Rebel.
So yeah.
And some accompanying narrative
that
went with it.
Yeah, and that was when I made fun of myself for getting all up in arms over a 10-second trailer, because sometimes Star Wars fans want to make a big deal out of little things. Because they said something about how the Jedi will rise or something. The Rebel Alliance. Something about the Rebel Alliance and the Jedi. And I got all annoyed because the Rebel Alliance isn't supposed to be around until a little before New Hope. And I don't want really a lot of Jedi running around because Order 66. And also mainly the fact that Luke is supposed to be the New Hope. Like, he's the only one left. So I don't necessarily mind that there are Jedi still around, because I'm sure
there are
some of them had to have
there.
Escaped. But
I do hope they're all hunted down and
killed.
Well,
that's the whole point
show.
Of the Jedi Purge is, you know, it says he helped the Empire hunt down and destroy the Jedi Knights. So, you know, yes, he did that in the Jedi Temple, but he also did that afterwards. So that's what I would like to see.
Agreed.
But
and
we'll be talking
we'll
about
talk
that
about
later.
More of this later. I've got my own thoughts on all of that,
yeah.
But I'm not worried.
Yep.
In literature news, Janine Spendlove's War of the Seasons Book 3 Kickstarter is now live.
And I believe it's already funded.
It is already funded, but They're stretch goals, and they are very cool stretch goals.
Yep, so if you want some other authors to write stories in her War of the Seasons universe, go and support her Kickstarter.
Now, who are some of those authors?
Oh, just people like Mike Stackpole.
Aaron Alston.
Is Aaron doing one?
Yeah, Aaron is. Aaron's on the list.
Oh, okay. Brian Young, I think, was going to do one. But yeah, a lot of cool people, so.
So it's a great young adult fantasy trilogy. Great female lead. Go support it. I think it's $15 gets you the three ebooks.
Cool.
$50 gets you the hardback set.
Nice.
So go look into that. Cool project, cool books by a very cool author.
And the rest of the news is all out of New York Comic Con. And we're going to be talking Rebels, so we're going to bring Aaron on the podcast, and we'll get back to you in just a moment. We're back with a friend of the show and host of the Star Wars Bookworms podcast, Aaron Goins. Aaron, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on again. It's always fun talking to you guys.
Yay. So we have you on because you were at New York Comic Con last weekend.
And we were very jealous.
Yes, it was awesome, and I wish you guys could have come.
Yeah, New York Comic Con is one of those conventions that we'll definitely go to eventually, because I have family in New York. It's just a matter of logistics and getting time off and all of that fun stuff.
But yeah, it's becoming a really good convention. Like, I've only been there twice. I went there last year, and then I went there this year, but it's just, it's a really cool atmosphere. And I've never been to San Diego Comic-Con, but I've heard things about it, and it seems like this might be like the closest experience you're going to get on the East Coast to something like San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, and the nice thing about New York Comic-Con is it hasn't turned into full-blown press junket con like SDCC has.
Yeah, not yet, but I think it's probably headed that direction. So, like, if, you know, get in now the next couple of years, because I think in a few years it's probably going to be at that level.
Yeah. So before we get into Rebels, we just want to have you tell us all about your time at the show. If you want to go day by day or just cool, fun things you did, just make us jealous.
I was actually at New York Comic Con to help out a friend. So he owns his own company that sells prints, officially licensed prints from Hasbro. So he does a lot of like G.I. Joe and Transformer stuff. So I was working at his booth all 4 days. But he did let me loose to go look at some stuff and check out a couple panels. I made sure that I hit like the Dark Horse panel to see if they had anything new to announce, which they really didn't. I think they announced just one new comic that's coming out that's set in the original trilogy era, but they really didn't give any details about it. They just said it's coming. And then the Del Rey didn't have a panel this year. Let's see. I think...
I was surprised by that too.
Yeah, I went to their booth and I talked to Arish, and I kind of asked him about that, and he said that they really didn't have anything to announce. And then I just, you know, I think I asked him the question that a lot of people were wondering is like, are there more books coming out? Yeah. Like, we only know about two books that have been announced.
I think at the schedule for next year, and it looks like there's only two adult novels on
the Luke novel that
comes
out
on the schedule
year.
Yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we have two. So I kind of asked him about that, like, hey, or should we be nervous? Like, is there more stuff coming? And he said they do have other projects that are being worked on right now that he can't talk about. But he did tell me that they're kind of changing the way they do things as far as not announcing things really far in advance like they used to.
So we don't get a repeat of the Kemp duology.
Exactly.
Yeah, that whole thing.
Or even the Jaina Solo novels. I think they announced that stuff probably a little bit too early. And then now that things have changed, you have all the fans. It's like every time they get questions, it's like, when are these books coming out? And, you know, I think they're trying to avoid that. So they're probably going to start announcing stuff a lot closer to the actual release dates as opposed to years in advance.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, and I did ask him about things like the, you know, the Paul Kemp duology and see if I could get any hints, you know, of like what happened or like what it was going to be about. And he was pretty tight-lipped. All he did tell me was that it was going to be a big event type thing. And that the reason that it stopped was because of the Disney, you know, because of the future of Star Wars right now is so in flux that they really didn't want to have like a, you know, that type of a big event type story without knowing what was coming.
Yeah, and that kind of mirrors what I've been thinking. If we get any more material in that era, it's going to be more along the lines of Mercy Kill and one-off books like that than any sort of big event book.
Yeah, I think they're going to hold off on that kind of stuff for a while. But he did say that, you know, especially for fans of Jaina Solo and people were worrying that that's going to be, you know, that trilogy is going to be cut. He said, you know, it's still a possibility that it could still happen. They just have to wait and see, you know, if it makes sense after we know more about what's going to happen in the movies.
Right.
So they're not throwing it out. You know, they still have these ideas, the Paul Kemp stuff. Those Jaina Solo novels, they're still a possibility. They just have to wait. So if they do happen, it's going to be a little while.
Okay.
But yeah, I got some, you know, I was able to talk to him a lot, which was, you know, just kind of pick his brain as far as what the future of the EU might look like. And he really, you know, was really honest with me that they really don't know right now. Like the reason they're not telling us anything is because they don't know anything really. So...
Yeah, that certainly makes a lot of sense. I mean, there's probably only a select few people with Lucasfilm who have any idea what the sequel trilogy looks like, and that's not going to weed its way down to the tie-in material anytime soon.
Right, not quite yet. I did get to go out to dinner with them as well, so I got to actually hang out with John Jackson Miller a little bit.
Wow. Oh, I saw that. That was cool.
Yeah, so I got to go to like a pub in downtown New York, and it was with the Del Rey people as well as him, as John Jackson Miller. And he, for a large portion of the time, he was on the other side of the table, so I didn't get to really hear what he was talking about. But as the night went on and more people left, you know, I kind of got right across from him. And then we just started talking about stuff. And he was even talking about kind of his hopes for the future of the expanded universe. You know, kind of like, hey, we know that things are going to be changing. But he, you know, he obviously hopes that they don't throw everything out if they do decide to kind of do a reboot. Because a lot of the stuff that he's written is in the Old Republic era, which wouldn't necessarily conflict. So.
Cool.
So even the authors are nervous about the future, probably as much as we are, if not more.
Yeah, but the good news is I don't think tie-in media is going to go away anytime soon. The level of canon may change, but there's always going to be books and comics coming out.
Definitely, yeah. And he said they're already thinking about, you know, plans for what they're going to do. You know, and obviously there's a lot of stuff they can't even tell us. So, you know, Del Rey's still working really hard at... the future of Star Wars, we just don't know what it's going to look like right now. But yeah, there's always going to be those books coming out. So,
yeah. So personally, I'd expect more, maybe a couple more Empire and Rebellion novels to get announced soon to start filling in those publishing gaps. But beyond that, no telling yet.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so I'm trying to think of what else I did. I missed the Making of the Return of the Jedi panel. So I didn't catch that one. And I know Anthony Daniels was there as well, but I saw him there, but I didn't actually go to his panel.
Cool. So you were at the Rebels panel, and
yes,
I think
anyone on Twitter knows that I was at the Rebels panel because I tweeted. I don't know how many tweets I tweeted from there, but I felt bad for like anyone that's following me that doesn't really care about that kind of stuff. Because I was just like filling their feed with Star Wars Rebels pictures and stuff.
No, I liked it. Made me feel like I was there.
Yeah, that's what, and it was cool because there was a lot of people there tweeting it. Like a lot of times you go to these panels and like one or two people are tweeting it, but I think the whole first two rows of it was just all people live tweeting. So there was a lot of coverage.
Nice. So, we'll go through what they announced. The first main thing that I think we were all wondering was when it was going to take place. And they announced that it will take place 14 years after Revenge of the Sith, which is about 5 years before A New Hope. And there were rumors flying around beforehand that it was going to take place 8 years after Revenge of the Sith. And obviously that turned out to be true. So this is your daily reminder that rumors are not necessarily true.
Yeah. Pablo Hidalgo, even before he said that, he said, like, the first thing I want to tell you guys is I'm going to debunk a rumor. Like he said, and he's like, I love doing this. Like he loved the fact that he could debunk that. So yeah, they, you know, it's 14 years, not 8 years or whatever people were saying. So,
and I think that makes me feel a lot better about the show, just that little piece of information. I think that time frame feels so much more logical for what the show is supposed to be than having it closer to Revenge of the Sith, if that makes sense. Because, you know, if the Rebel Alliance is just beginning to form, this seems like a good time for it, because it's still not super close to New Hope, so there's a lot more time for things to develop, but it's not too far away where you're wondering, well, if the Alliance was around all those years, why didn't they do anything?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So they discussed that it will focus on an Outer Rim planet. I believe it was called, or you can say how it's pronounced since you were there. Is it Lothal or Loth?
Right.
Lothal. Okay. And it's going to be basically about the Imperial presence on that planet and how that affects the citizens. And I believe it's a TIE fighter production plan. Is that right?
I'm not sure. I don't remember if it's if they specifically said that. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it is going to be. It's interesting because I thought before they had said the setting of the show was going to kind of be on that ship. On yeah. the Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's like, okay, does the show, like maybe the movie starts out on that planet and then they have to leave the planet on the ship and then the adventure continues on the ship. I don't know. Like I'm wondering if they're going to stay in one place on a planet, why would they need a ship?
That's true, yeah.
Unless they're just going to jump around on different, you know, different places on the planet, which would be weird because they never do that in Star Wars. It always seems like they're always one city on every planet.
Right. So let's see, what else did they tell us? They said that Jedi will be involved, which you were happy about.
What, was I? Yeah, you know me too well, definitely.
I was
one of the things I was really excited about when they, you know, they reveal the villain
mm-hmm.
and they say, oh, he uses a lightsaber and he's an Inquisitor and he's there to hunt Jedi. So obviously if there's a guy there to hunt Jedi, that means there's Jedi for him to hunt. So I was like, oh, this is going to be kind of cool. Because I kind of expected it, like they weren't going to really have a Jedi presence in the show because the Jedi aren't really supposed to be around anymore and that whole thing. But I was pleasantly surprised with that reveal.
Yep. And but they also said, in relating to what you just mentioned, that they are cognizant of the fact that Order 66 happened and that come A New Hope time, Luke is really supposed to be the only Jedi around. So, well, the only... By Return of the Jedi, he's supposed to be the only Jedi around. So, it looks... Seems like there'll be maybe a few Jedi, but definitely not a lot, which I think is a nice... happy medium for everyone.
I agree. And I think that I know we were talking about this a little bit on Twitter, Brian, but I think it would be perfect if it was just like one or two.
I would. That is how I'd personally attack it.
Yeah. I mean, if they have this whole, you know, army of Jedi, it just wouldn't make sense. Right. And I think that I'm kind of thinking it's just going to be one. Like there's going to be one Jedi-focused character that's in the show, and that's the reason why this Inquisitor guy is constantly hunting them, because they're with this Jedi. That's kind of just my guess, but you know, obviously I don't know mm-hmm. anything beyond just speculation.
And we were we were speculating the other day that, you know, they really haven't mentioned the voice talent for this show. And we were saying that we would not be surprised in the slightest if they had they just had one Jedi on the show, and it was Ahsoka.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking that's a good possibility. I don't know. I'm feeling like it's like a 50-50 thing, because I feel like it's likely that they would use that character.
Mm-hmm.
But then a part of me wonders if maybe they felt like her ending in the Clone Wars was the way it should end, and they don't really want to touch that character again. So it's like, which way will they go? But I will say that Ashley Eckstein was at the panel. She came and she actually had recognized me from a previous time I had met her. So we actually talked for a little while before, and I was like, hey, so are you here for a reason? Because I was kind of hoping maybe there was going to be like a big reveal, and that's why she was there. They were going to call her up on stage, but none of that happened. But she was there. She was just sitting literally right behind me on the second row. So she was interested to see what it was all about. So I don't know if she was there because she wanted to hear them talking about a show that she's going to be a part of, or maybe mm-hmm. she was just there as a fan.
Yeah.
I can see them using her as Ahsoka. I can see them just using her on the show in general, because she's worked with Dave before, obviously, and they get along. So he mentioned that they've got a lot of Clone Wars people working on Rebels, and I believe I'm assuming he was speaking about the
animation and design team.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they bring in a lot of voice talent too.
Do you guys remember when they had the Young Jedi episodes that they showed at the convention? And at first they were saying these are episodes that might not ever air as part of Clone Wars. It was kind of like a test thing that they were doing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember there being talk of, you know, this might turn into own thing.
And I kind of was thinking about that, and I was thinking, okay, so Ahsoka would be probably around 30 at this point if it's 14 years later, right? Am I getting that right?
I think, 30 or 31, around that age.
Okay. So she's, you know, she could definitely be a mentor type character to teenagers, which I think is the direction they're going with the main characters. I think they're going to be teenagers.
Right.
So it almost makes me wonder if, okay, they were thinking about doing it some sort of a spin-off show with Ahsoka leading a group of younger people, which was what that Young Jedi, episodes were about. And so if this is what that became, which is Rebels, then it would still work if you had her be this mentor character with a group of young, you know, teenagers that are on the run, that are starting a rebellion type thing. So, I mean, it makes sense if it was her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, if she's the only Jedi that shows up, I kind of like the logic and poetry of how that works. She's the only one in the show because she was the only one in the entire order who recognized the path the Jedi were going.
Well, not the only one. Well,
the only one we'll discuss.
And you can imagine like what they could do with like a series finale with that. If you have Ahsoka being in it, because then you could have, you know, you could Vader. Have Anakin or Vader, Anakin/Vader meet up with her, you know, yes, as in the finale.
In the series finale, Vader shows up on screen for the first time.
That's my pipe dream, is having them have a conversation in that. And I feel so terrible because I love Ahsoka and I love Ashley, but like my biggest hope for her character is that Vader kills her. Just because I just think it's poetic and fitting, and I can't.
It would be a terrible, terrible thing to do to children that watch that, but it would be a very intense and fitting end.
Yeah. Well, it's not like the Clone Wars didn't do terrible, terrible things to children.
And you mentioned before the villain that was announced, the Inquisitor, and he is a Powan? Is that how you pronounce it? I don't know. But
I have no idea.
Apparently he's from Utapau, which is in Revenge of the Sith. And he looks very much like the Sun from the Mortis episodes. And
yeah, it's interesting. Like they went with that with Inquisitor because that is such an EU thing. Like
yes.
That's not even like almost anything else.
That
I mean, you can't say
EU.
That came from anything else. That is EU.
Yes, we were, Brian and I were actually at Epcot when the panel was going on. So we were checking Twitter, you know, just kept refreshing to see what was happening. And I was like, I saw that and I was like, the new villain is going to be the Inquisitor. And Brian was like, oh. So I immediately went to Wikipedia and I was reading all of it. Because I've heard of the Inquisitor before. And I knew there was also one in the Old Republic. But I was trying to find the information on the OT era. And I was like, yeah, these were people the Empire used to hunt down Jedi. And then I felt like going, oh, they'll never use anything from the expanded universe ever.
I know. You think about all the different nods they had to the expanded universe in the Clone Wars, and this is bigger than any of them, other than maybe bringing in the Night Sisters.
Yeah.
Was similar. But this is like, I mean, this is born in the EU.
This is equivalent to using an Emperor's hand.
Right, exactly. It's basically the same thing, yeah.
If they had taken that and had a new character instead of, you know, Mara Jade, but had be the Emperor's hand. It's the same thing. He used them to hunt down Jedi. I think this is what we have to look forward to going forward. They're not going to necessarily take characters that we know from the EU, but they're gonna take the concepts because they're there, so why not use them? And they might use characters, who knows? I mean,
you know, I've got absolutely nothing to base this on, but I just get the feeling that with Rebels there's going to be a bit more cooperation and synergy between the EU and Rebels.
They've already said it, like with the whole story group that they have at Lucasfilm, and they said they're purposely going to, across all media, try to tie things together even more than they ever have.
Yeah.
And I've always thought Star Wars has done a pretty good job with that, other than the films. The films always kind of stood apart, and everything else had to kind of match up. But now it even sounds like the films are going to be, you know, taken into account when it comes to these, you know, overall stories.
Yeah.
And they've already said that Rebels will have elements that will tie into the new films.
Yeah.
So who knows? We might even see an Inquisitor in the new films. I mean, that would be it bodes well for fans that are hoping to see some EU nods. This definitely bodes well for the future of Star Wars.
Yeah, I know Dave Filoni has said in the past that he doesn't really want to use EU things specifically because he doesn't necessarily want to get things wrong.
Right.
And even though, you know, people, you know, can't stand him for changing stuff anyway, but it always seemed like George was the one who was changing things. And George isn't involved in Rebels at all. So it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of, you know, the expanded universe, because, you know, going on to the next thing was Senar Fleet Systems is now a website, and they were giving out TIE fighter pins, and on the back it said Senar Fleet Systems, and that's not like a huge big deal, you know, it's just the name of a company, but it's something that they easily could have just made up their own thing and overrode. It's just like, it's like using Coruscant, you know. George is going to use a different name. And then they were like, they've already been using this name for a while. Why don't you just use that?
Yeah. And the only reason I noticed it was as they were handing it out, I was coming out and there's a Lucasfilm employee that I know pretty well named Matt Martin.
Yep.
And he was handing the pins out. And when he handed it to me, he knows that I'm a big EU fan. So he said, hey, you might want to look at the back of that thing. So as soon as I got out into the hall, I like flipped it over and looked, and I was like, oh my goodness, I got to take a picture of this.
Yeah.
But and it's so small on the back, I couldn't even get a good shot of it with my camera. So I ended up just tweeting what it said. But yeah, I'm glad he said that, because otherwise I would have just shoved that thing in my pocket and never even looked at the back of it. So, but yeah, that was really cool to see that they're using that.
It would be cool if we saw X-Wings from Incom.
Well, if it, seeing our fleet systems is making the way over, I'm betting Incom will as well.
Yeah, and they showed a lot of artwork. And I know one of them that I really liked was the interior of the TIE fighter cockpit. And I was like, ooh, do we get dogfights? I want dogfights.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Why would you need to see the interior unless they were going to show us something like that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's really cool.
I mean, that's not, I love the Clone Wars, but that was always an element I really wished was in there.
Well, especially with Anakin.
Yeah.
You know.
The one thing that... that he said that I know a lot of people haven't really been talking that much about, but I think is very interesting, was that the stormtroopers will not be clones.
Yes, that was, I read that too, and I thought that was really interesting.
And I always thought that it was kind of like, okay, some clones were still around, but they were recruiting people, so it's going to be a mix. But he said pretty definitively, based on George Lucas's wishes, you know, his last impressions on this whole thing. But yeah, he said stormtroopers are just recruits. They're not clones. So yeah. I'm kind of sad about that. I was hoping to see some carryover and maybe even see maybe like a Rex, an older Rex, you know, as a stormtrooper, something like that.
I know they've had some clones in the EU during like the original trilogy era. I know there's one of them in Mindor. There's an older clone.
Yeah, there's one in Mindor, and there's one in the what were they called? There was a comic series that focused on Luke. I think it was called Rebellion, maybe.
Yes.
And there was also a clone stormtrooper in that, or at least a surviving clone. I can't remember now if he was a stormtrooper, but yeah. So. Yeah, the EU definitely has gone that direction. So now it sounds like Rebels is going to kind of set the standard now. Like, okay, let's stop using clones as stormtroopers because that's the direction we're going.
They could always still have maybe one or two around.
I see a mini arc looking at how they're phased out.
Well, because they said, maybe. Wasn't the reason they said is because the clones exhibited too much individuality and they wanted recruits instead? I can't remember exactly what the explanation was, but it was basically like, okay, clones, you served your purpose. Now.
Yeah, and he did go into a bit of an explanation because I know somebody else asked later on about it, but I was so busy trying to keep up with all my tweets, I wasn't paying attention.
That's the double-edged sword of going to these events is that
I'm like, how do you spell Inquisitor? Like,
and see, this is why I pull my laptop out and tether it to a modem for these panels because I need my full keyboard to type this up fast enough.
You gotta get practice.
That's why if you look at all my tweets from it, it's very like, you know, this is this. Like, I don't go into any explanation. It's just like, okay, this is what that picture is. Because I was just barely able to keep up and then have to lift my phone up and take another picture. I'm like, slow down, Pablo.
This is why you need to bring a second person with you to cons.
I know, like you guys, maybe.
Yeah, but what else did they talk about in the panel that you found interesting or noteworthy or any of the artwork that you really liked?
I thought the stormtrooper that they showed, I think he was maybe the pilot of that new walker that they showed, was kind of cool. What was that thing called? The ATDP?
Yes.
Did you guys see that?
I'm looking at the picture now.
Yeah,
what does
so they're
it
like
stand for? All terrain.
What was it? I don't even remember now. Somebody,
Google.
I know they said it, but
Google.
Yeah.
ATDP.
I don't remember what it was.
ATDP.
And, there's a bit of art right after that showing a new trooper that I believe is the pilot of that thing.
Yeah, I think so. And that I thought that was a cool look. I always like to see new trooper armor. I think it's cool when they get creative with that stuff. So, yeah, that was cool.
All-terrain defense pod.
Defense pod, okay. Yeah. Somebody did ask about Ahsoka, and then literally he just didn't answer the question.
And
they
I
were
think
like, I have two questions. What happens to Ahsoka? And then something else. And he's like, I'll answer your second question. Like, and just ignored the first one.
And I know, I can't remember if it was you who tweeted it or someone else tweeted it, that someone had asked about the how the Inquisitor looks like the sun, and you know, if there's any connection there, and Pablo wouldn't answer the question. So that was, people were like, oh, Sam Witwer gonna be in.
Oh, they'll find a way to use Sam's voice for this.
I would have no problem if he was the voice. I mean, he was awesome.
Yeah, give him a regular role, it'd be great. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to give us a name for the Inquisitor, or is he going to just be the Inquisitor? Like, or he's got to have a name, right?
He's got to have a name, but might be one of those things where they don't tell us. I'm trying to think of if that's happened in Star Wars.
And we've always known, like, everybody has some, like, even General Grievous, you know, that's a name. Like, but the fact that they just said he's the Inquisitor, I'm like, okay, is that like his character name, or is that just his title? But we're going to find out more about him later. But I think it would be cool if he was like, you know, maybe a former Jedi or something like that. Like, it'll be interesting to see where this character came from.
Yeah. I'm not hoping for, you know, appearances by Palpatine or Vader, because I think they're going more of the along the lines of original characters, but
definitely
it would be cool to at least maybe have some presence there, maybe a hologram or two. but if there was ever anything with Palpatine and him together, I would be all for that.
Definitely. I was kind of wondering about that, because they have this character that is hunting Jedi. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, that's kind of what Vader was supposed to be doing at this time. So it's almost like he's a replacement for Vader. Like, they know we really want to see that, but they're not going to give us Vader. So they just kind of made a Vader replacement. Kind of like they did in Clone Wars when they gave us Savage Opress. They wanted to basically give us a Darth Maul replacement.
But then they gave us Maul too.
And then they ended up giving us Maul too. So who knows? They might say, okay, let's start with this guy. But then eventually, as the show evolves, it might say, hey, let's go ahead and throw Vader in there too.
Yeah, but so. I would be okay with Vader being held out until the very end.
Well,
yeah.
I heard, I was reading some speculation about, you know, this show, and someone was saying that the kind of the same thing about how the Inquisitor is supposed to be doing the same thing Vader's doing. So is he a replacement for Vader? And they're like, well, you know, you could have this guy hunting down the Jedi, and then he ends up failing in a certain case. So Vader comes in, basically kicks his ass, and is like, now I'm going to show you how to hunt Jedi, which I think would be kind of neat.
It'd be great if, like, the very end of the show, like, they have, like, a 4-episode arc or something that's just all Vader. Like, and they just end the show like that.
You got to save your budget to get James Earl Jones right at the very end.
Darth Vader's one of the more easy voices to imitate. So even if they can't get him, I'm sure they'll convince us with somebody's voice.
One of the things that really stuck out to me as I was reading through all these tweets is I am loving the artwork and the models they've already got for the Stormtroopers. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, everything does. Even the ship design and everything that they showed just looks so good.
The Star Destroyer. Oh, the Star Destroyer was gorgeous.
I like all the artwork I've seen. The Stormtroopers kind of weird me out.
Really?
Because it's what we know, but it's not completely there. It just kind of looks off. And I'm like, but that's what? Like, it's like the mold went wrong or something. But I'm sure I'll get used to it eventually.
And I think my favorite bit of trivia from this panel is that they have modeled a ship after the old Kenner troop transport.
Yeah, that was cool. And a lot of people were really excited about that. I'm not much of a collector, so like I was just like, okay, I've never seen that before, but cool. But I know a lot of people were like, yeah, that's awesome. But it's cool that they have nods to for us EU fans and nods to the collectors fans. They care, you know, they're trying to do something for everybody, which is good.
Well, I think they have the freedom now to give more respect to the collectors, the EU fans, and the other portions of the Star Wars fandom that previously they just didn't have the leeway to do. So I'm very optimistic for this series.
Yeah, I am too. After this panel, I feel a lot different about... I feel a lot different than I did walking into the panel. And they completely surprised me with the reveal of the villain. And I think that's kind of what got me, you know, back on board. I, not that I ever was not on board with the show, but I was kind of thinking, okay, it's just going to be a show about kids and, you know, there will be a lot of blasters and maybe some space battles. But the fact that now I know there's going to be a villain with a lightsaber and there is going to be at least some Jedi, it's like, okay, cool, they put that in there too. So
yeah.
So I'm more excited than I
might have. You know, it seems like very reminiscent of the original trilogy, which makes sense because, you know, there's not a lot of Jedi or Sith in this period. It's basically, you know, two and then one and then two Sith versus two Sith. And there's a smuggler and there's lots of space battles. So it seems like this show might be more well-rounded, where the prequels was pretty much all Jedi all the time. But there wasn't really a lot for people who weren't into that. Like, there was pretty much... there was a space battle at the end of Phantom Menace, but that doesn't really compare to either the Battle of Yavin or the Battle of Endor. And then there's... the Battle of Coruscant was pretty cool. But it wasn't, you know, it didn't end up being the main focus. You know, they cut out of that quickly. So I just like that they seem to be having a lot of different things for everyone.
It seems like this is a show that's going to have something for everyone. Maybe more so than the Clone Wars did. Not that the Clone Wars was doing anything wrong, but there's going to be a bigger palette of Star Wars goodness in Rebels.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of my favorite episodes of Clone Wars was the Citadel episodes. And mainly because I thought it felt more like the original trilogy. That might have been because Tarkin was on.
Those episodes were really underrated. Like, you don't hear too many people talk about them, but those are actually some of my favorites as well.
Yeah, because it had a bunch of stuff. You know, they were kind of sneaking into a citadel, but then there was, some fight scenes. And so hopefully they'll have that sort of balance in Rebels. I think it seems like they will, at least, which I think is cool. And if they focus on the crew of the Ghost, that'll be kind of neat for people who are more into the underworld and smuggling and all that. I can't imagine they wouldn't have bounty hunters involved in the show.
Somehow. Yeah, they actually said there will be... I don't know if anybody tweeted about that. I'm sure somebody did, but somebody did ask him if there will be new bounty hunters.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that the underworld will be represented and there will be new characters. So he kind of danced around the answer a little bit.
That's cool.
Because he didn't say bounty hunters specifically, but he did say they'd be represented. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, and this isn't just my fanboy talking, but I wouldn't be surprised if we got some sort of a Boba Fett cameo at least.
I'd be surprised if he wasn't in there in some capacity.
Right, because his story is still kind of unfinished from the Clone Wars. They kind of left you hanging a little bit on him.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised if Filoni used this opportunity to kind of, you know, give us a little bit more information about how he became the bounty hunter that we know him as in the movies. So I'd be cool with that. I know not everybody loves the Fett as much as I do, but...
I would like to see Hondo Inaka.
Oh, yeah, that would be awesome. And, I really do hope for some carryover from the Clone Wars.
I love Hondo. I love Cad Bane. I would really love to see not necessarily Talon Card himself, but that type of character.
Or even Talon Card himself.
Well,
we wouldn't argue.
I wouldn't argue about that. I would not, bank on that, but that... archetype, you know, person who can get everything, or, you know,
smuggler, information broker, someone like that.
Yeah.
We do know Filoni, when he does talk about the EU, he usually talks about the Thrawn trilogy.
Yeah.
You know, we know he's a fan of that. So this is definitely more of an era that he could slip some of those characters in than he could have done in Clone Wars.
Yeah, Thrawn could show up somehow.
Right. So it'd be cool, you know, even if it's just kind of like a wink, wink, nod, nod kind of thing where you notice something in the background or a name or something. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if there's some elements from that series of novels that kind of find their way into the show a little bit.
Yeah.
So anything else that struck you from the Rebels panel you want to talk about?
Not really. I think I covered everything that I did get to meet the guy that played Dak.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, he just, like, I ended up getting a VIP pass because I'm friends with the right people. and so I was able to literally sit right on the front row of the thing, and that's why I was able to get such good pictures. And then afterward, a friend of mine who is a writer for a cartoon website pulled me over and he said, "Hey, I want to introduce you to this guy." And so he introduced me, and I said, "Oh, nice to meet you." And I'm kind of thinking in my head, okay, who is, I don't know why you're introducing me to this person. I don't recognize them. And he said, you know, after we talked for a few minutes, the guy said, "Yeah, I'm Dak." And I still didn't register at first. I was kind of like, "Dak, okay, what?" And then my friend was like, "Yeah, Dak from Empire Strikes Back." And I was like, "Oh, nice to meet you." And I felt so dumb. So I'm like, that would have been nice if you introduced him as that. You know, that way I would have kind of been tipped off to react a different way. But he was really cool. And, like, you know, I guess he's written some stuff for the Star Wars blog. And mm-hmm. he was talking to me. I guess he had seen some of my stuff over there. And, you know, so he was talking to me about that. And then I got a picture with him. And he was really nice. So that was kind of a cool highlight of the convention as well.
Cool. I'm now looking up Rogue Squadron on Wikipedia because I cannot remember his last name and it's really making me angry.
Raltier?
Is that it?
Rattler, Ralter.
Dak Ralter.
Ralter.
Thank you. I wrote a fanfic with him as one of the characters and I'm like, how could I not remember that guy's name?
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Okay, so I think we're going to wrap up Cammy's concerns there. Before we go, Aaron, where can we find you online?
You can find me over at my podcast if you want to check that out on iTunes. It's Star Wars Bookworms. Go check us out if you like Star Wars books or comics. We literally review every single one that comes out. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at AVGoins. That's pretty much it. I'm other places too, but you'll find me.
What's your next episode going to be about?
Our next episode is going to be about the Dawn of the Jedi Volume 2 comic. Cool. We might slip in the Return of the Jedi, making a Return of the Jedi as well. But we'll definitely be covering those comics.
Are you going to do Razor's Edge sometime?
Razor's Edge is coming up, yes. Cool. And I have to, we still don't have anybody booked for that one. So if either of you are interested in coming on and reviewing it,
ooh, possibly.
Let us know.
You can get
I'll definitely be looking for somebody that liked it better than I did.
You can get two for one because I think Brian liked it more than I did. So
yeah, okay. I feel like we should get Bria on, though.
Yeah, Bria,
we'll
really
just have a Tashi Station takeover. All you guys come over to Bookworms. And
tell you what, we'll just record over on my end. You call us.
Teresa can just drive over and record at our house.
Hey, we've done crossover episodes before, so it wouldn't be a first.
Yeah, I'd be down for that. Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking New York Comic Con and Rebels. We'll definitely get you back on again before too long.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
And be sure to check out our sister podcast, Wrong Opinions About Movies. This week, they reviewed Captain Phillips and Rush. Check that out. This episode of Tashi Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Head to the site for links to that to help us keep the site on and running and the lights on. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles at Tashi_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with at Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with LaneWinree, Lane Winry. On Facebook, we are the Tashi Station Network. We're available on the iTunes Store. You can find our columns and news. Nancy's making faces at me. I'm sorry. You can find our columns and news at Tashi-Station.net. Thanks for listening to another episode, and we will catch you next time.
Bye! We'll
This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.